see Barbados as a religious country, so it's not legal at all. Same-sex marriage or being gay is not right here in Barbados.
I was feeling a little scared, especially to be with my partner and to be so open after the election, because, you know, I look very queer, and I'm not trying to hide that.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Our news wrap crew is off for the holidays. They'll be back in early January to update us on the latest news in or affecting LGBT communities around the world. On this week's special program, we get a glimpse of queer life on a conservative, Christian-dominated Caribbean island, and welcome back audiophiles Chris Wilson with some delightful words and music by Abby and the Myths. First up, thanks to Steffi Barnett and Shoutout Bristol, we learn about life for LGBT people on the North Atlantic island of Barbados. It's a British Commonwealth country and home to about 300,000 people. It's considered to be part of the Caribbean, however, and a major tourist destination. But religious oppression keeps most of its queer population hidden. Some have already found a safe haven in Canada. Here's Steffi Barnett.
The country, Barbados, and I've met up with Shem. Shem, what do you do for a living?
I'm actually a professional hairstylist here in Barbados.
Are you out on the island, or do you feel because of the prejudices within the island that you have to sort of stay hidden?
Not, I wouldn't say that per se. I would say that I enjoy myself. I don't care what people think about me. So I just go and enjoy myself. If someone tries to bash me or whatever, I just ignore it.
Have you been party to homophobia?
Yes, it's a lot here in Barbados because we see Barbados as a religious country, so it's not accepted here in Barbados. It's not legal at all. Same-sex marriage or being gay is not right here in Barbados. No, it's not.
What about trans, lesbian, bisexual?
Well, I would say we have like two or three trans people here.
Would you say there was probably more, but just hidden?
Yes, there's probably more, but hidden, yes. But I found that now, since it's not accepted here, I found that most of my friends, everybody has seek asylum to move to Canada.
So Canada is seen as a safe place.
A safe place, for them, yeah.
Is it easy country to get into because of the persecution?
Yes, the positive persecution, yes.
Have you thought about moving?
Well, a couple of times, yes, I've been told, but since I have my salon here, it's hard to just go and start all over again. So yeah. I try my best to ignore it and just pull through.
Your customers, they're obviously accepting of you because they keep coming back to you. So how do they treat you? How are they with you?
They're very nice, actually. Very good. Very loving people. But of them, they have some husbands which they don't agree with it, so they...
If, do you find that it's the men that are the bigger problem? Then?
And I find it's the men and the older generation.
Are you with somebody?
No, I'm actually single right now.
Would you feel comfortable showing affection in Barbados?
I don't mind, but as I said, I don't mind showing affection to my partner. But I find now if you do have a partner, the other partner doesn't want to show it because we know how Barbados could get. But for me, it's not a problem.
You're quite a strong character, aren't you, Shem?
Yes, I do have a strong character, yes. I really don't care what people think. They have some young gay people that were here and their parents put them out. They beat them, they cut them up with sharp like knives or whatever we call here. You guys might call it machete, but we call it a collins. And they're very abusive here. So sometimes if you see a group of men on the block here sees a gay man walking, they would take up a rock and just throw at you.
Wow.
Yeah.
So do you feel scared then when you walk in around?
Well, I will tell you this. I don't trouble anybody. I'm very peaceful. But if you come for me, I can defend myself.
do you know people that have actually been subject to that type of abuse?
Yes, a lot. There was about 5 or 6 people that I knew that were all targeted because they were gay, and they either one got shot in the hand, one got nearly their back, their whole shoulder sliced off. So they actually use that, because once you have the police report, as I said, you can go to Canada, and once you have the police report, you can seek asylum. You have to have like a police report or something, a witness or something stating that it's unfit for you to live here. And the Canadian government give them a grant, which allows them to give them a place to stay, send to school if they haven't finished school, and give them a monthly income to get on their feet.
How did you find growing up and like in family life when you were younger with your mum and dad?
Well, my mom still told me, Sham, I know you're gay, though. But with my dad, it took a while for him to get accustomed, but now we're good. He's fine. He wasn't abusive or nothing that. He just didn't know how to maybe deal with it, I would say. But he would say, well, Sham, if this is what you are, I still love you as my son. But please keep your eye low, because I don't want anybody to harm you or do anything to you.
I guess that was their biggest fear, wasn't it? That you'd be hurt.
Yes, but I didn't have a bad childhood with my parents, or me coming out gay. They were more supportive than anything else.
And how about school? Was that difficult?
School for me, I'm at school with all boys. So it wasn't a problem to me. I had some bullying, yes, but ain't nothing that I can handle.
So school was okay? You coped with that?
Okay.
Yeah. Are there any societies or groups on the island where people of LGBT community can actually meet up?
Well, we do have parties. Like, we have a party for our Cropover, which is our annual carnival here in Barbados. We have one for Easter. We have one for Halloween. We have one for Christmas as well. All the seasons we have here, we have one. But it's more like a private something. Not everybody knows about it. It's a message you would send out and say, this is where the party is. But not like it's open for the general public. It will have to be around the same circle that we would know. Well, it's a party coming up.
Yeah, so it's done very carefully.
Send a private message on Facebook or something. But it's nothing to open the public, because we're still afraid that, you know what, someone that isn't gay would find where the party is and just maybe kill or shoot all of us. So, yeah.
I guess the island needs people like you and the stronger ones to help others come up on the step.
I will say this. I'm strong, yes, but sometimes when we are attacked, the police are not even give us satisfaction of how we want it here.
So they're homophobic as well, the police?
Homophobic as well. Very, very homophobic. They don't care about you. You're like nothing to them, really. If you get in, somebody troubles you, then they don't care. They take down the report and that's it. They don't even go and warn the person or tell the person something.
What about the lesbian community? Do you actually keep in touch with other groups within the LGBT?
We are all one group, the lesbians, the gays, we all party together.
Yeah,
we're not like there's a different section for gay women. We all come together.
That sounds good.
Yes. Yeah.
So those parties you have, it encompasses the whole rainbow.
The male and female LGBT community, yes.
Yeah. Do you keep in touch internationally with other Caribbean islands like Jamaica?
Not really. I have some friends in Trinidad that are gay. They do the same thing here. They keep it...
It's all kept quiet.
All kept quiet, and they keep it separate parties. Like, you only know the party if you get an invitation saying it's a party.
Shem, tell me about the politics of the island and the pressures from the UK on another Commonwealth country about the LGBT community.
Yeah, I remember the Queen asking the government here to, as we're a Commonwealth country, we still have a good relationship with the Queen. She asked us to legalize same-sex marriage here, and the government kicked up a big fuss about it. The Christians society here, the religion society and Christians kicked up a big fuss about it, and they didn't pass it. But I find it very hard for the opposition leader, Mia Motley, on the BLP, the Barbados Liberal Party. She is a lesbian, and...
Is she openly gay?
She's openly gay. She doesn't care, but they rather not give a woman maybe that is a lesbian that would do a really good job of ruling this country to get the current government out and give her a chance and let her spread her wings and bring back Barbados to what it used to be. They're just afraid that because she's a lesbian that she's going to legalize same-sex marriage. And I find they give her a very, very hard time.
Does she tend to be popular on the island, or is there...
She's loved by the BLP members. She's a very good person. She's a very good lawyer. She's a very good economist, right. And she is really good at it. And I think she would get back Barbados to the way it used to be. But as I said, she's being gay people would just not vote. Mm. They'd rather vote for the DLP, which is just mashing up the tourist side of Barbados, taxing us everywhere, and making downgrading Barbados to the same level as Venezuela. And I think they should give her a chance.
It does seem very expensive on the island.
It is very. The cost of living is very, very high because this government, to be honest, does not know what they're doing.
Shem, thank you so much for chatting to me.
Thank you for having me.
Our thanks to Steffi Barnett and Shout Out Bristol for sharing that interview with us.
There's been a lot of noise in the air this year. You might even call it sound and fury. You can help defeat the noise by joining This Way Out's year-end campaign at thiswayout.org.
The latest album by singer-songwriter Abby Posner runs the gamut from folk to rock and even a little bit of country. Chris Wilson hosted her in our Los Angeles studios and her two-piece band, Abby and the Myth, to learn something about the artist and enjoy live performances of cuts from the album.
You are described in your bio as a tall, gorgeous lesbian Buddhist and multi-instrumentalist.
Yep, that's me.
And you brought somebody with you here today.
I did. This is the other member of my band. The band is called Abby and the Myth, and this is the lovely Kara Bedema, and she plays accordion in the band.
Welcome, Kara. We're so glad to have you here, too.
Thank you for having me.
Do you suppose in a few minutes the two of you might give us a little taste of a live performance?
Absolutely. We would love that.
When did you first know that you wanted to make music, Abby?
I knew at a very young age. I was probably around 5 years old. I started taking piano lessons. And from there, I started taking guitar and drums and I fell in love with the arts and music at a very, very young age. I did a lot of theater as a child. I was always performing.
Now, you're originally from Colorado.
That's right. Yeah, I'm from Evergreen, Colorado.
And what brought you out here?
I came out here originally to study at CalArts, California Institute of the Arts, which is located in Valencia. I studied multi-instrumentation there at the musical arts program.
And even your first solo album, you played a number of different instruments and it was all you?
Yeah, I've released a few solo records where I played all the parts. I think I had a couple musicians come in and do some horns. I do not play any brass or woodwind, but I play a lot of the other kind of, you know, main rock instruments and banjo and mandolin.
Kara, did you come out from Colorado too?
No, from the Midwest, Indiana.
How did you become involved with Abby and the Myth?
We worked together at the same music store, and she started writing some of her solo music and was like, I think I really want accordion on this. And I'm like, oh, hey, I play accordion. And the rest is history.
It was about 2011 that Kara and I started collaborating. We've had a few different bandmates come, you know, in and out. It's been quite an evolution of sound. But Kara's been with me since I started the solo project. Yeah, it's been a long, long musical relationship. It's been really nice.
So now is it primarily your work with the band?
Yes, I've been in a lot of different bands. I was what we call a hired gun for a while. I was playing with some country artists and touring with a bunch of indie artists. But I started focusing all my energy on Abby and the Myth in about 2014. So that's been my main kind of baby.
Tell us about your latest release.
This record is called When You Dig a Well, which is actually the beginning of a quote from the Buddha.
I wondered about the title because very often an album title is the title of one of the songs, and I didn't see a song with that title.
Yeah.
So what's the rest of the quote? When you dig a well, then what?
The entire quote is, "When you dig a well, there's no sign of water until you reach it. Only rocks and dirt to move out of the way. You have removed enough. Soon the pure water will flow." And I think that that can be interpreted in a lot of ways. But for me, that's kind of doing a lot of the internal work. My imagery is thinking of the rocks and the gravel as being some of the muck that you have to go through and some of the demons you have to face within. And soon, once you're able to calm and sit with yourself and do the muck of that work, the pure water flows. And I actually think the water in this case is a metaphor for some of the songs. Soon the lyrics will flow, the creativity flows. You don't have to be gripping so tightly on control and what music sounds like. Just let it be and be yourself. That's kind of how I imagine that.
Well, let's hear some music.
We're going to play for you a song called Delicate Parade, and this is the first song on the record. This song is about jumping over the hurdles of finding what real love is, because, you know, we all have our idealized forms of what love is from fairy tales and movies, and this is just kind of about really being with somebody for the good, the bad, and the ugly, and really being side by side with them.
I bring you water, cold and from my hands. Climb the highest summit, barrel through the windy sands. I will tell you stories deep within my past. Tales of smoky rivers, all the loves that wouldn't last. And there you are, standing in the sea, hair falling like rain. You are waiting there for me. And there I go, just stumbling and afraid. These feet are not worthy to march in your parade. Ah. Shadows come to rise, cast away the demons and dance on their demise. I will show you seasons to winter into spring, laugh until we cry when there is sadness, start to sing. And there you are, standing in the sea, everything I've wanted. I have seen, and there I go to live another day. These eyes are not worthy your delicate parade. Ah, 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 ah. To weave, and there I go, oh, with the madness that I've made. It takes two hearts to march among this delicate parade. It takes two hearts to march among this delicate parade.
This is Chris Wilson, and my guests are Kate Batema and Abby Posner of the band Abby and the Myth. Abby, one of the things I found really interesting was your tour diary on your website.
It was the first time I'd ever traveled with a serious girlfriend,
And I also was doing the tour solo. Usually I've toured in the past with at least one other bandmate or a couple. And this was just me and her, and we crossed over about 25 states. The primary tours that I've done in the past have been the Northwest or the Southwest. So I did a whole East Coast, Southern. We crossed over a bit of the Midwest, played in my hometown in Colorado. The journey was just pretty incredible. I saw a lot of people from my past, met a lot of new friends, and that's kind of the beauty of touring is making connections.
In some of the places you went, though, you had a little trepidation about being perceived as visibly lesbian, visibly mm-hmm. non-gender conforming. Tell us about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
How did that go for you?
You know, it actually went really well, surprisingly. I've always had some insecurities about traveling through the South in particular. And I was feeling a little scared, especially to be with my partner and to be so open and after the election and just being harassed. I had a lot of fears because, you know, I look very queer. I am clearly a very queer person and I'm not trying to hide that. You know, I want to be myself and be authentic no matter where I go. And I used to travel with a lot of male musicians and there is a safety net there. Being two women, it's a little more vulnerable. But people really treated us with respect and care. And even my girlfriend noticed that there were rainbow stickers on like almost every cafe we went into.
The other story that I really enjoyed reading was your visit to the Stax Museum in Memphis. And your dad's influence. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because I like that story a lot, too.
Yeah, I feel like I just got a little emotional. My dad has been such a positive influence on me musically. He's not a musician himself, but he's more of a music historian and philosopher. And he is always the one that has turned me on to the soul music and the roots of blues and the roots of R&B and the influences that B.B. King, Sam Cooke, Otis Redding has on all of us. And I was so privileged to be able to go and see the journey of Otis Redding and to see some of the journey of Stax. Stax Records, for those of you that don't know, was one of the first record labels to integrate white and black artists. It just was a safe space. Not only was music a safe space, but the building was a safe space, literally. And so I look at Stax as being one of the very first kind of integration of white and black artists playing together. And I also look at those artists as being some of my, I just look up to them so much. They're my greatest idols.
Where can they go to find out where to see you or to buy your album?
So if you go to abbyandthemyth.com or Abby Posner, that's spelled P-O-S-N-E-R, abbyposner.com, you can go there. There's shows listed. And if you go to the merchandise, you can buy all the records online. We're selling them on Spotify, iTunes, Bandcamp. You can even buy vinyl on our Bandcamp. We have vinyl.
Wow. Yeah. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, we recorded this record, a portion of it on 8-track tape. So we wanted to make this as vintage and warm and kind of go back to the roots. Just like I was saying about Stax Records, kind of a homage to 8-track.
You know, I see the websites and the web presence of a lot of musicians, and yours is particularly impressive. You've got your SoundCloud set up, you've got your Facebook, you have your two websites. So there's all you have to do is Google Abby Posner, and there you are.
Oh, thank you.
You've done a really nice job of that. And I want to thank you very, very much for being with us. I look forward to the next album. This has really been fabulous.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm Chris Wilson. My guests have been Abby Posner of Abby and the Myth and Kara Batema. So let's hear just a little bit more.
All right. We're going to play a song called Who Have I Become? Again, this is from the record When You Dig a Well.
Oh, Lord, darkness, where have you been? I see you lifting your laws and raising your head. You've been fighting heat like a burning flame. And I know you'll be running back again. But I will fold up my pride with the evening brushing up against my side. I will hold the hand of God. If she looks me in the eye to see who I've become, who have I become? Oh, preacher, preacher, don't sink my stones. Won't you straighten my back and heal my bones? And way out here, you never feel lost. Like a lone wolf howling at a broken cross. But I will fold up my pride with my hands in your hair and the mist in your eyes. Take me far away from here. Won't you loan my gun? Won't you cage my fears? You never fear.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Steffi Barnett and Chris Wilson contributed program material this week, with a tip of the hat to Steve Pride. Abby and the Myth performed most of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, our contributing affiliate stations, and you, our listener donors, for making this program possible, especially during our Defeat the Noise year-end campaign at thiswayout.org. Look for This Way Out Radio on Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and Google+. Smile at Overnight Productions on Amazon. Email tworadio@aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappelle and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Holiday greetings from all of us to you and yours, and thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org, across Europe, Africa, the Middle East, and the Asia-Pacific region, on the London-based World Radio Network, and on more than 200 local stations in the U.S., Canada, Australia, New Zealand, the U.K., South Africa, and India, including this community radio station. Stay tuned during your Happier New Year.